Socrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hold on, I forgot I had to say something.
Oh.
Chris forgot how this works.
Hailing frequencies open. You are listening to Treknologic's listening post that goes with Treknologic 162, where we reviewed the Deep Space Nine episode, Wrongs Darker Than Death or Night, for Stardate 2015.011. First up, Space Mailbag. Mike?
All right, our first one is from Tekarangolam, or Tekarangolam.
I was going to say, you don't say his name right at all.
Happy New Year, Treknologic crew. Is it the year 3015 already? Well, is it? My calendar just hasn't been the same since Y3K hit. And there's no point in debugging it because every time I do, we jump to another era again. Y2K, Y1K, Y0, Y1K BCE. I can't keep up. So, about Voyager. I'm glad you guys reviewed all three episodes together because they marked a very important moment in my life. I was a little kid at the time, and Star Trek was always a thing at my house, but it was very erratic. Most of what I saw were reruns of TNG and a few DS9 episodes the network had deemed us worthy to watch. Plus,
you're not worthy!
Plus whatever we could find on our horribly disorganized, recorded, poor quality VHS tapes. What I'm saying is, I wasn't really able to watch new episodes with any sort of discernible regularity. That all changed when these episodes aired. This was when we could finally watch a show that was new and reliably on at the same time. It was the show that my family got together to watch religiously on Wednesdays, always popcorn, sometimes soda. Interestingly enough, I didn't know Seven was joining the crew because I was too young to know or care what actors' names were. I didn't even realize that Kes was a main character. I'd seen so little of previous sessions that I barely noticed her, and her new haircut and outfit made me think she was someone else entirely. I do love the gift beyond its significance in my life for all the reasons you mentioned. Plus, it's a perfect example how to do an ending. Long, drawn-out endings are a pet peeve of mine. They bore and infuriate me. And this episode did it right by not trying to fit all of the goodbyes in at the end and telling more than just the story of goodbye. Delegating Kes's goodbye story to the B-plot allowed it to balloon into a big deal at the end, thus giving it some thematic grandeur.
Not me.
That's punctuated by your phone.
Yes, that's right. Let me turn the sound off on that quick. We made it through the whole review without any sound. Okay.
That's not true.
You're clearly not as popular.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Chris. It was Chris's sound. They were also clever in letting her have her goodbyes without actually saying them. The best endings are ones that start wrapping up loose ends before the climax, so you don't have to drag it out.
Yeah.
They were also wise in being selective, choosing only a few characters, Janeway, Neelix, and Tuvok. Yeah, we missed the scenes with Kes and the Doctor or Paris, but that's a small price for succinct closure. Maybe I just don't like long goodbyes.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to Wrongs Darker Than Yards, yada yada. I'm glad you liked this episode because I do too. I keep forgetting how deliciously vivid the characters and stories are in DS9. Dukat in particular is wonderfully complicated. You can't even really talk about who he is without discussing the existential divide in his character. There is the person he thinks he is, and then the person he truly is. I'm not even sure he is xenophobic. I think he just hates anyone who doesn't affirm his ego.
Ah.
Excellent point.
I can identify with that.
Yes, I'm sure you could.
It doesn't matter how much.
He wanted so dearly to be loved and accepted by the Bajorans because it would prove what a great leader he is. Your discussion made me think of someone I know who went through a divorce. Long time coming. He was a bad sort of person on many levels, really messy, glad it's over with. You know the story. But even after it was all done, she wanted no more communication with him. He'd still try to send passive-aggressive messages, either very apologetic or very hurtful, and he'd do this on a holiday specifically to hurt her during a time that she's more emotionally vulnerable.
Wow.
That sounds exactly like what Dukat is doing now.
Yep.
He's finally accepted that Kira will never love him. Yeah, he was actually holding out hope for that.
Gross.
Yeah. He's burning the last bridge with this one last ace up his sleeve. The ace is also a match, I guess. Don't ask me. And of course, on her mother's birthday, just so it could hurt more. And the sad part is, Dukat probably thinks he's doing her a favor because he's more deluded than a sugar cube in a swimming pool. Wait, that's deluded. My metaphors are all over the map tonight. Finally,
they're trying to make, homeopathic Kool-Aid.
Homeopathic sugar?
Yeah, that's right. Finally, I wanted to say I've gained a new appreciation for what you do to give us your reviews. I've started recording RPG gaming sessions to test my audio editing abilities. Wow, that is a long and painful process.
With an RPG? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Especially if your friend has a free-flying parakeet. So, thank you again for all of your hard work. Tack out.
I would not be gaming in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, free-flying parakeet, I'd be like constantly throwing my hands up.
It'd be like the birds all over again.
Yeah, I hate that. No. No thanks.
Okay, next up is from Cindy. About the Deep Space about the Deep Space Nine episode, Wrongs Darker Than Death or Night. What I remember most about this episode is from when it first aired. I had always thought Dukat blamed the Bajorans for the death of his daughter, Sial, who embodied his downfall and ultimately betrayed him by siding against him. I believe I heard Bill called her Miral, who is the name of B'Elanna's mother and daughter. Oh.
You know what? I'd like to thank Cindy for putting in pronunciation guide for Sial's name.
Thank you for that.
That is awesome.
I get the impression that at the beginning of the series, Dukat was already a disgrace to the Cardassians. So his character arc was of him ruining things for Sisko or Kira, and by extension, the Bajorans. I've been reading the book Star Trek Action. It's about the production process of any episode or movie in Star Trek. The examples used were from 1997 to 98 for Voyager, DS9, and Star Trek Insurrection. It usually starts with a whole group of writers. With a series like Deep Space Nine, they knew early it would have to have a broader scope than what was done in previous incarnations. If you like continuity, you will like this tidbit. Every little bit in an episode, no matter how insignificant, is a plot point that may be revisited. A case in point, in one of the final scenes of the last episode, Bashir and Esri have a conversation very much like the one O'Brien had with Bashir. In this case, Bashir explaining to Esri why he refused to share the Alamo with her.
The Alamo is like his whole big thing from half of season 6 to onward.
I know.
Plus, someone on the writing staff also had a penchant for the Old West, so the theme runs deep for DS9.
That makes sense.
Remember Deep Space Nine. Anyway, so that story germ never falls from the Star Trek universe. Did I read that right? Yeah. Okay.
Right. One little plot point is always going to be a part of the universe.
Of the universe, right?
Yeah.
A Dr. Mengele plot did wind up in the Voyager episode Nothing Human. It is the one where B'Elanna refused medical treatment based on research from a Cardassian scientist known for doing unspeakable experiments on Bajorans during the occupation. Oh, wow.
Ah.
Far out.
We'll have to review that sometime. But it's probably not this year. That's a hint.
Yeah.
Really? Is it a hint or is it a direction?
Well, we already have this year all planned.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, next.
Okay, next up is from Matthias. Hey, guys, it's me again. I told you the next mail wouldn't take long. I just hope I still made it in time to be read on the same listening post.
Just barely.
Yes.
The mutiny plans have been postponed because I haven't heard from Jay nor to Karen Golem. This week's edition of Treknologic, however, leads me to question if Starfleet is biased. After a long absence, we all got the treat of Ben returning, and again he was on the ship to investigate Captain Chris's involvement in any recent time incursions.
Well, hold on. We kind of got him into the review, so that took up his time.
Well, yeah. That's why he's constantly investigating, because every time he comes in, they distract him with something else.
But he likes reviewing previous time periods.
Yes.
I mean, he does spend a lot of time visiting them to see if you've done anything, so of course yeah, he does.
That's true.
After all, we know how he got the command of the Relativity and how often he was responsible for changes in the timeline. Everyone was hoping he would get punished. Was he arrested? Did Ben interrogate him? Was he released of his duties for the time of the investigation? No. Instead, Ben left the podcast without even threatening him to return shortly. Looks like Chris has some very influential buddies, or he just has a lot of luck.
It's definitely one of those, I think.
Yeah, or both. But definitely one of them. Still, there's a new episode to rate, and that's what I'm here for. While listening to your review, I realized that Worf must have German blood in his veins. He hates parties. Check. He's always serious. Check. He never has any fun. Check. He drinks a lot of alcohol. Check. Yes, he is a typical German, and that's saying something coming from a German who always tries to hide and deny their heritage. Oh, there's another check. Way to go, Worf.
Oh, nice.
Maress and I have started rewatching Deep Space Nine on a regular basis. We haven't gone past the episode past prologue yet, but even in this gem, you could see what a great actor Mark Alamo is. He plays Gul Dukat exceptionally great. The mind games and the evil, mad personality he puts on the screen are just plain awesome. For me, he, together with Jeffrey Combs, carried most of the episodes in the last two seasons of Deep Space Nine. It would have been nice if we had gotten to see the party and Worf's reaction to it. Probably too German for American audiences to handle. But, unfortunately, it never happened.
Oh, Matthias, I want your opinion on what that would have been.
Yeah.
Now that you're giving us a unique insight into Klingon / German, culture.
We need a short story fan fiction. Just called Dax's Party.
With the theme of Klingons.
Hold on, I'm not sure.
What's their favorite Klingon?
People submitting fan fiction.
Well, I mean, I'm saying Matthias should write it since he's got it so worked out.
Yeah. I give this episode a 9.
Ooh.
It's hard for me to rate Deep Space Nine in general lower, especially in the later seasons, because I love the series so much. Now for the title, Wrongs Darker Than Death or Night, another Shakespearean quote that I don't understand.
Wait, that wasn't Shakespeare.
Yeah, right? That was, wasn't it Shelley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Shelley, a poem. That's okay, he's German.
Why am I having such a hard time with Shakespeare, especially in connection with Star Trek? There's more than one reason. First, I don't think it's appropriate for a TV show that plays in the 2300s to still quote Shakespeare, since there should be authors of other races that outshine him by far.
By far?
Wow, Bill takes umbrage.
Oh, I got lots of umbrage for that.
As long as it's not Dolores Umbridge.
I'm smiling when I say that, by the way. Sorry, what did you say, Karen?
I said as long as it's not Dolores Umbridge, because she was pretty nasty.
Bill was in a lot of Shakespeare plays.
It's true.
Yes. Tis true. That's what you should have
yeah.
said.
Yeah. Tis true. I carried many a torch.
I did too, but it was usually to burn down villages.
The last one I did, I had a great scene at the beginning, and then I spent the rest of the play either holding a torch. I did get one really good sword fight. And then carrying the king in, hauling his fat rear end onto the stage at the end. Yes, it was a production of Lear. The director's like, I want all the ladies in the house to be saying, France when I played France.
Nice.
And did they?
I did get a gasp one night when I kissed Cordelia.
Aww.
Oh, good.
It was very great. And the director was in the house that night, so I ran up to, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Great. You know? He's like, France is the only nice thing in this whole play. It's the only romance. So I want everyone to be going, France. And I was like, all right, I'll do my best.
And then you bust out your, like, Southern sheriff guy.
Yeah, she is queen of us, of ours, and our fair France. Come here, Cordelia. I'm going to plant a kiss on you now. Come on, man. I'll tell you what.
Thanks, Cletus.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Let's go rule French country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Matthias's letter.
Yes.
I like Shakespeare's, Shakespeare's Dukes of Hazzard.
Right. Yeah, oh, my gosh. That would be awesome.
Forsooth, I'm in hot pursuit. Come on, Flash. Verily, we must catch these dukes.
The Grand Duke of Hazzard.
Yes. Right.
I mean, Matthias is the guy who opens every voicemail with, howdy, y'all. By the way, I performed the Dukes of Hazzard theme song last night in front of people at a bar with a band.
For money, right?
Shakespeare.
No, I just did it for fun. It was their gig. I was just sitting in.
Oh. There should have been money involved in that. Or, you know, like,
there used to be when I played with them. Yeah, there used to be when I played with them on a regular basis. But now, without further ado, back to Matthias' letter.
Okay, Matthias says, secondly, I never had Shakespeare in class. It wasn't required reading in the schools I was going to, so I could never build up a liking for this author. And Carrie gasps because, like, everyone should read Shakespeare. Although, really, if you read it, it's very difficult to understand. So you really have to get the annotated ones that tell you what they're actually saying.
Yeah. Yes, you really do.
But I wonder if they were reading, like, a translation in German or if this was for English class. Because it's already hard
reading it at all.
Right. Well, it's hard enough to learn English when it's not your first language. And then to read Shakespeare when it's not your first language. It's going to be really difficult.
He should really get it in the original Klingon.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's so much better.
Bah, bah, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and Shakespeare's English is our English. It's past Middle English, but it is still very difficult. And then also, he wrote a lot of you kind of have to know the culture, too.
Right.
Yeah.
To be able to understand.
But he invented so many words.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Words that we still use. He invented so many. And that's why I really like Shakespeare's, because when you're reading it, you're going to see words that are familiar to us, but were, like, completely novel at the time.
Like ginormous.
No, that's elf.
Yeah, I've read annotated copies of Shakespeare where, like, the actual script is only, like, an inch in the page, and the rest is
rest
all
of it's the annotations. Yeah, yeah. See, I have somewhere. I have a leather bound complete works of William Shakespeare. I used to have a really nice one, like, from the 1800s from my great aunt, but it got destroyed in a water accident.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so Chris bought me the leather one a few years ago.
What makes Shakespeare Shakespeare is that it's so dense in as far as the what's contained within the jokes and stuff like that and the writing and the references. And
Yeah.
It's funny because – but even as much of it as I've done, it still takes me halfway through the first act to get my ears around it when I go to
see. Yeah, it does, which is – I mean, and that's pretty cool is that it's a language that even England English instead of American English is different than what's in there in the plays.
Okay. So I don't think he intended this to turn into a Shakespeare review.
Right. He's like, I don't even like the guy. When he's
Wait. Okay, Bill, does Shakespeare have a time travel episode? Maybe not
Johnny
episode.
Review?
Well, okay,
you could say that the one of the new movies where they've taken Shakespeare and set it into modern day.
Richard III is a great example of that. Ian McKellen. And it's set during World War II, and you're wondering the whole time, how is he going to get around, how is he going to say, a horse, my kingdom for a horse? And I'm not going to spoil it, but when that line finally comes up, I was like, oh, yes! It was so good.
Yeah.
Midsummer Night's Dream sort of has time travel. Yeah. Like a whole thing happens, but it didn't happen, so they kind of go back in time at the end, you know?
Cool. Yeah. You can put that on our bonus list.
All right.
Review the play.
So, thirdly.
Thirdly, I tried reading Julius Caesar, but stopped about a quarter into the book because of the writing style. I know that it's very old and words were used that are unknown to most people today, but that's not the biggest problem I had. He wrote in such a complicated manner that you need an English degree to understand him. It would be nice if someone could tell me what he really meant by this sentence. I've read it more than once and still don't understand it.
There you go. So that's exactly what the annotated versions are for.
Yes. But, I mean, what he meant by this sentence, the wrongs darker, I think he's talking about wrongs darker than
Death Knight. Which actually turns out to be Shelley.
Yes.
A romantic poet.
So yes. Shakespeare didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah. What did Shelley mean by it, though?
Well, you'd have to read the poem again.
Yeah.
Okay. But enough about me rambling about Shakespeare. Here is the German title. It's, now, Chris, you have to read the German.
Oh, shoot. Now I got to switch over.
Schiffs Unrecht.
I had it on Skype so I could actually see you guys.
Oh.
I don't need to see you all, so I don't have – I've got the little tiny picture at the bottom of my screen up there.
I have two monitors.
I do, too. That's why – that's monitors up there. This is my monitor down here. You guys are
one
up there.
There and one here.
You guys are up here.
Yeah.
And up here is the document. Ah. And then up above you guys on up there is the – Quatloo sheet.
All right, you can just take a screenshot.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Okay, right, say it, Chris.
Tiefes Unrecht.
This is a little more difficult to translate. The word Unrecht has two meanings in the German language. It can mean being misjudged in court or something happening to you or a third person that didn't deserve it. Huh. Let's use injustice.
Ah.
The word tief. Is that it?
Yes.
Means deep. So combine these two words and you get deep injustice.
Oh,
which sounds about right. Yep. It was a pretty deep injustice. And I mean, he was misjudged because they said that he like murdered people, which we don't think happened. Knowing Riker.
Wait, what? No, we're not.
What? What?
This is not Riker.
We're not talking about Riker.
Oh, we're talking about, oh.
We're talking about Ducat, and Ducat killed
a lot of people.
Well, I thought it had more to do with her mom
was dealt a deep injustice. She was misjudged, and I mean, Kira does try to sit in judgment of a lot of people.
Actually, I love this about different languages. How there's probably not a word in English that I could think of. I've been trying to rack my brains here for Unrecht. Because it's a fascinating word, and that happens in all languages, and you know, I'm sure English has words that probably represent a fair amount that don't translate into other languages, too.
Yeah.
I need to learn more languages.
I wish I knew them all.
Yeah.
That's a lot of words. That's a lot of words in a lot of languages.
Yeah, I'm having enough trouble with English.
Yeah. Sometimes I have that problem as well. You know, if we just all had, like, the ability to think via think at people and have them understand us, that would be so much better.
Well, that's what, you know, Google and Microsoft are trying, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Matthias says... No, shut up. I'm going to finish Matthias' letter first. Then you can go off topic. Well, I enjoyed your review like always, and I'm looking forward to the next review in a fortnight. Take care. Love long and prosper. Copyright. He just wrote copyright. Matthias. P.S. I wanted this mail to be shorter, but Shakespeare got the better of me.
Oh, and us.
Yeah.
Yes. No one can just, you know, short shrift Shakespeare.
Ooh, nice alliteration. Woo-hoo, that was great.
Inadvertent puns and accidental alliteration, totally me.
All right. Including alliteration.
I think Matthias might have gotten a little confused that it's the Live Long and Podcast that's a copyright Colin.
Well, unless he's just copywriting because...
You say love long and prosper.
Love long and prosper was because of him mishearing what you said.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, okay.
That's how the whole thing came about. So it is because of Matthias that we say that.
Well, not all of us say that. Only Chris says that.
Well, yes.
I do not say that.
Live long and prosper.
Because I'm a creature of love.
Uh-huh. I love your facial expression.
Oh, Mike.
Say that. You look very lovey.
That's good.
I'm a creature of love. Yeah. I should have been using this voice the whole time.
I'm just laughing that he's acknowledging it's a creature.
I'm a creature, baby.
You know, that's the little, like, worm thing.
All right. So our last message is from Dr. Brian. Greetings, crew. I would say great episode, but now I'm dealing with mommy issues. Talk about moms being something other than what you expected. I thought that time would resolve, but I must face the fact that I am like Kira. I am still like Kira. Here's the story. I always wanted to play guitar, so I borrowed my buddy's electric and some data logs shaped like antique videotapes. For 3 weeks, I sat in front of my parents' view screen and tried to follow the lessons. Before I could make any success, my buddy asked for me to return the guitar. As I was getting ready to take it to him, my mother asked if she could see it. I handed it to her, and after tuning a few strings, she plucked out Mary Had a Little Lamb. I was stunned. I never saw her even touch a stringed instrument. She confessed that she had a few mandolin lessons when she was younger. I felt so humiliated that what I struggled with for weeks, she played easily after decades. Shamefully, this has led to my dread of music lessons and being resolved that I am only skilled at playing data recorders. Well, now with a new year, I guess I should make choices to face this issue. I have researched the possibility of using the Orb of Time, but since the emissary is non-corporeal, he can't be reached at this time. Oh well, I guess I will either try to be at peace with my lack of skill and that my mother was never required to reveal her abilities to me. I feel better now, thanks. By the way, here are the two clickbaits for the episode. See the trailer for 50 Shades of Grey Cardassians.
Oh, no.
Oh, yikes.
No. It's not 50 Shades of Grey Cardassians. It's 50 Shades of Grey Cardassians.
Yeah, 50 you know, Shades of Ducat.
Because they're all gray.
Yes, they are.
Earl Grey?
They're Earl Grey.
Yeah, because they're hot.
Yeah. Oh. And the second one. Kira's mom likes spooning and lilacs.
Oh.
Anyway, have a great fortnight, and thanks for sharing your journey. Feeling better, Dr. Brian.
Dr. Brian, I have a funny story for you. It's funny you share this story with us. 30-some-odd years ago in 1983, I think it was. Yeah, 1983, I just started guitar lessons. You know, I played a couple bands today and, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there with the acoustic my teacher had loaned me till I got my own with the songbook open. My dad had driven me to the lesson. It was about a month before I got my license. And I'm sitting there trying to play the chords to Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't – quick, let me change to a G chord. Care, you know, and I'm just struggling because it's like lesson two or three or whatever. I'm really having – you know, not doing okay, getting there.
Better than now, right?
Well, that's when I decided to start playing experimental jazz, atonal music, things like that.
Because then you just pluck the strings however you want. It doesn't matter.
I'm not above doing that in the middle of a guitar solo, just going real out and wonky. It's true, but anyway. So my dad then goes, and there was twice in my life when people said this exact phrase to me, and the second time changed my entire approach to playing electric guitar. But this time my dad says, "Let me see that old thing," and he takes the guitar and he proceeds to just start tearing it up.
Wow!
But here's what was weird about it. I couldn't accept it as reality. I was like, oh, he's just throwing his fingers around. He don't know how to play. About a year later, I was like, wait a minute. You can't just do that. That was not faking it. I go, so it took me an entire year to finally go, Dad, did you used to play guitar?
Wow.
I mean, you were a teenager, so clearly –
Yeah, it was right before I turned 15. So yeah, right before I turned 16, I'm like, "Do you play guitar?" He's like, "Well, yeah." I was like, "What the heck? How about that?" He's like, "Yeah, we had a washtub bass. I played an acoustic. There was a guy with an electric. I used to grow my thumbnail out to here so I could strum, you know." I was like, "Well, no kidding, huh?" So there you have it. That's my story.
All right.
Wow.
Nice. All right, no voicemails? How about any iTunes reviews?
Yeah.
Don't say it.
No.
I'll give you an iTunes review.
Okay.
I finally subscribed in iTunes to our podcast.
Ooh.
Rather than listening to them when I do listen to them on the website or whatever. And wow, it's great. They all show up there. You can look back.
Well, the last 100.
I think mine's set to less than that, but yeah, it's a nifty.
Well, no, that's all that's on there because of
the RSS feed.
Magical technological thing that we're afraid to change because the website will explode or something.
Yeah.
Mike, you're the engineer.
Only the last 100.
Yeah. Hello.
All I've been told is that by Captain Jeff is that if we try to change it, the universe will end.
And okay, Mike does not want to be responsible for that.
Yeah. Because it would be really nice if all of them were out there, you know, if we could change it to 1,000 or something, but apparently 100 is what it's at.
But they can see the older ones.
No, they can't.
They can get the older ones.
Only if you go to the website.
Yeah. So you can still have access to them, you just can't get
them
on.
Which is why I started making that forum entry with direct links to all of them so that it'd be kind of easier to find instead of hitting back on the page 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's great.
So see, you can get them, and it's not terribly, terribly difficult by pressing back.
Right.
Thank the goodness in this world for that.
But you got to go to the forum.
Yep.
Wait, is it like a topic under the technological part of it?
It's under the technologic. It's called the podcasts.
Yeah. So if you're looking for older ones and you're concerned that you can't find them, you can go there. You don't even need to be a member to see it.
Nope, you don't.
Although, you know, why not join because there are awesome people on there.
That's right.
We had a few recent joins.
Yeah. We totally did, and we should acknowledge them because that was awesome. What are their names?
Pressing spacebar a lot?
I was typing.
Something?
I was typing technologic.com. See? It just sounded like the spacebar because I typed that fast.
Well, see, I forgot my password, and that's why I haven't posted it in a while, and that I need to find my iPad because it logs in automatically there.
I could just log in and change your password for you.
Yeah, I could do that too somehow. I know I could.
All right, let's not do it on the podcast.
No, yeah. I'm going to tell you who the new people are. Duh.
I thought you were going to change my password.
I will change your password to Mike is the best.
Mike rules 1, 2, 3.
And let me check this little box. Password cannot be changed.
Okay, so we have Kimberly who joined us.
Yay, Kimberly.
Ooh, Kimberly. She says she's like grown up with Star Trek her whole life. She's been watching Star Trek her whole life.
Nice.
And we were recommended to her by a friend. So thank you, Kimberly's friend.
Yeah.
Now, it does make a difference. Is she 8 years old or 80?
I'm sure there are some numbers in between those two numbers that also would probably be valid. Thank you for insulting our listeners, Chris.
That's what I'm here for.
And then we have Vulcan 1.
Yes.
And he said, since Galaxy Quest episode, Bill and Mike make me laugh out loud, which sometimes gets him shouted at in work.
Nice. I get shouted at work, too.
Yeah.
And apparently he's Welsh.
Cool.
Or they're Welsh.
With the Welsh accent.
I'm not doing a Welsh accent.
Yeah, I don't even know. Colm Meaney had to do one once, though. In a film called The Man Who Went Up the Hill But Came Down the Mountain or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That was a
movie.
Isn't it a book, too?
I think it was a book first.
Yeah, I think I've read the book.
But O'Brien himself is in the movie.
O'Brien is?
O'Brien?
Cole Meany.
Yeah, Cole Meany.
Oh, I thought he
I
was
said
like,
O'Brien himself. Himself meaning.
Oh.
Indicating.
Oh, I thought, you know, Cole Meany was playing O'Brien in yes. that movie.
Yeah, and he keeps going, Keiko!
Yeah.
Up down the mountain.
Oh, God. Mike, I hate
Miles,
you.
It's not a hill anymore. It's a mountain.
I hate you, Mike.
Is that from The Price is Right?
It is.
Oh, I love you, Mike.
It's from the mountain climbing game.
Oh, look. Christian 1313 says that on Wrongs Darker Than Death or Night, it was the 50th time I gave a 0.5 rating.
Yes.
Which means I have a 31.6 probability to rate an episode with a 0.5.
Nice. He's got to be Vulcan.
All right, let's get out of this listening post.
Yeah.
Really?
I need to go over to the feeding post.
I was there. There's this, like, fish stuff there.
Oh, man. Fish lobe stew or something?
Spicy and lobe fish
and
stew.
Fish lobe stew and hot fish juice.
Oh, God. Yeah,
spiny lobe fish in the common area with some fish juice. What do the Cardassians call the fish juice?
Warm fish juice.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have a name for it?
Not that I could see. I mean, it's not canar.
No, that's supposed to be good.
I mean, how do you know hot fish juice isn't good?
I don't. It may be delicious. It's probably like really high in omega-3, too.
I'm pretty sure there's no way hot fish juice is good.
I'm pretty sure you've never tried it before. So
maybe if you eat one of those little miracle berries before you do it, you know, that like reverses the taste buds on your tongue. So that horrible things taste good.
Oh,
no!
Oh, I was like, so your tongue is emanating flavor back out?
I got it. There is that fruit that you can get that's like that super fruit that makes everything nasty taste good.
That's what I'm talking about! What the heck?
You just thought there was a way, but there's
He said the magic berries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Carrie's excellent at making sure that it's her her idea.
Yeah, right. She's a good lead scientist that way.
No, I was reading to Karen Golem's post about technological.
So you weren't paying attention.
That's technical reading, questions.
When she's reading, she can't hear.
And when I'm reading and I'm thinking and I'm trying not to cough, it's very difficult to pay attention to Mike.
Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. Until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Treknologic, love long and prosper, baby.
Yeah, love long and prosper, baby. Let's get into trouble, baby.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, let me do that one more time.
It's okay. I'll just paste in a clean copy on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have said, oh, Felkagarb or whatever.
What?
Felkagarb or whatever.
That was a lot.
You didn't mute yourself.
Oh, I thought I did.
No. All we heard was, oh.
Yeah, I know, right in the middle of the song. And then so Mike starts to play it, and then you start putting your headset back on. Or make
crunch, 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 crunch. Yeah.
It's like.
Now, but y'all know what Felkagarb is, right?
Nope.
Battlestar Galactica.
Fish juice?
Well,
maybe that's what they call fish juice.
They do on the original Battlestar Galactica. You know how the new Battlestar Galactica, they always say frack instead of the F word?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually from the original, but they also had another word for which was like Felkagarb or something like that. So, yeah. Wow, what a load of Felkagarb. Ugh, this fish juice tastes like Felkagarb. don't drink that Felkagarb, man. That is nasty.
What sound did the dog-like creature make, the dog-like robot?
It was like a – it sounded kind of like those monkeys with the cymbals to my ear, but except without the clanging.
Wait, didn't it make a bark noise though or something?
Something like that, yeah. It was a Daggett. It was a Daggett.
A Daggett. That's what it was. Oh, my gosh.
In the future – well, whatever year it was, to the colonists, robo-dogs are a man's best friend. Sure. Robo-dog Daggett is a colonist's best friend. Okay, I'm going
off the rails. Well, that makes sense. All right.
I'm going to attempt to play the power down sound.
Go ahead.